Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness of the righteous shall not be removed. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Very interesting passage here, of course, contrasts and comparisons in the verses, not necessarily connected one another, but as you can see, the flow of God's word and how he deals with things, very practical things and very spiritual things almost at the same time. It's amazing, isn't it? So we're in Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And again, I want to encourage you to read a proverb every day. Be sure to do that, a proverb for that day of the month. There's one for every day of the month. And let God's word speak to your heart. You'll find that there'll be things there that you've not noticed before, no matter how many times you've read it. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. If you've started that, continue. Please continue. And if you haven't started that yet, please do so. All right, verse 1, it says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Very interesting verse here. Got you several references I'd like to share with you here. But the thought of loving instruction. Now, that's not natural. It's not normal to love to be instructed. Unless you realize that it's a great need to be instructed, to find help, to find instruction in spiritual things and in practical matters and things of this life, having a teachable heart. That's what we pray for, isn't it? We pray that God will give us a teachable heart. And to a degree, it's something that's contrary or different than the world. It's in contrast with the world's philosophy of getting instruction, being taught. You know, there's this attitude that people have that it's a know-it-all complex. You know, you don't know it all and don't need any help from anybody. We also call that pride, don't we? That's what pride, how pride manifests itself, is not being able to be taught. Also, it's a sign of foolishness. If you look at chapter 1, it tells us that fools despise instruction, right? Well, let me give you a couple of verses here that'll help us understand also. Chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." Through desire. It's not just something that happens naturally, or it's just going to happen without any effort. Or without any desire. There should be a desire to learn. There should be a desire for wisdom. There should be a desire for godliness. There should be a desire to obtain and to seek that which God has for us. Any old dead fish can float downstream, right? But it takes one with life and strength to swim upstream where the waters are cool and clear. And that's where the blessings are. So we want to be that way, don't we? Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. And here we see the contrast here. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. That word brutish, very interesting word. I'll share with you here in a moment. The Hebrew word in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. It says, "And say, how I..." This is what those who have refused instruction, refused knowledge, "and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." If you look back in the context of chapter 5, you'll find that's one who has fallen prey to temptation and lust, and has rejected the wisdom and the truth of God, and has gone astray. And the answer is that help was there if it was wanted, if it was desired, your strength. Because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can. And there is victory. And we submit ourselves, submit yourself therefore unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist him? By submitting ourselves to the Lord. That comes first. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, Also, of course, the Word of God, using it as our defense and using it as our strength, the strength of the sword of the Spirit. And so, a couple more verses here. Psalm 32 and verse 9. Now, when we get into this last part of this verse, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. This word brutish, in practical terms, means stupid. Now, we teach our kids and grandchildren, don't say that word. It's not nice. Don't say something or somebody stupid. But stupid is as stupid does. What is it? Some people, well, I don't want to get too, we can do stupid things. I had a couple of boys at the boys' ranch one time. They got in an argument about which one was stupider than the other. I'm stupid, but I'm not as stupid as you are. No, you're stupider than me. I said, be quiet, you're both stupid. Don't be doing that. You're calling each other stupid. You're both stupid, so don't be arguing about it. But that's what the word means. It means some, and actually, it has to do with, it's not just a state or state of being. It's a willingness, a willing ignorance, a lack of desire to do right or to hear right or to obey the truth. Listen to this, Psalm 32 and verse 9. He says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. They have to be controlled. Why? Because they don't understand. They're beasts. It says, not, don't be like that. That's the word brutish is what this is talking about, being like that. Psalm 92 and verse 6 says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Wow, how clear that is. Psalm 92 verse 6, a brutish man knoweth not. But the reason they don't know is because they don't want to know. It's not that they can't, it's that they won't. And that's why the verse says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, in my natural mind, in my natural person, the natural part of me, does not like to be corrected or instructed. You know, as, and I've said it here before, we don't like to be corrected or the opinions of others unless we ask for them, for the most part. You know, some folks give you their opinion before you even ask for them. Well, no, none of us like to get that. But what about having a teachable spirit? What about us asking for an opinion? What about us asking God for help? What about us asking others that have experience in an area that we need guidance in? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. Everything's right with it, God says. Again, it backs up to being safety in the multitude of counselors. God gave us a brain and he expects us to use it. And he expects us to benefit from the experience of other folks. How do you think we got where we are today in our culture? And I'm not talking about the bad part. I'm talking about the good part as far as having the technology. I like lights. It's nice, you know, and air conditioning and heat when it's cold. Where did that come from? It came from a series of experiments, trial and error, and some folks cared enough to try to do something about it. Didn't they? And what did they do? They passed it on to others. And it increased and it got better. And that's why things like this are improving and getting better, because it's being passed on. It's being recorded. It's being documented. So there was a time when it was very difficult in history, back during the Dark Ages, during Bible times, very difficult to document things, to keep records of your experiments. And how people were, and that's why things grew kind of slowly in certain, but now technology is just, it's doubling and tripling because of the record keeping and people being able to look at the research of others and saying, well, I'm not going to just try to reinvent the wheel myself. I'm going to see what others have done and I'm going to try to improve on it and make it better, you see. So it makes sense. It makes sense, but for it to be utilized and to be be helpful, it has to be used. It has to be appreciated. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, we can, especially that applies to spiritual matters, but it also applies to other things, to the normal way of living too, of our livelihood and where we are practically and materially or physically. Now, verse 2, it says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Very interesting there. Do we want the condemnation of the Lord, or do we want his favor? You see, that's where the contrast lies here in this verse. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. I'd much rather have the favor of the Lord. That means everything, doesn't it? I mean, if we're going to live our life with the blessings of God upon it, then we need his favor. And it's not just, and folks get all mixed up about this, it's not just by good works that we obtain favor. Now, good works show that we are obeying the Lord and we walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that shows that we care, right? It shows that we care what others think about us. It shows that we care what others think about God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith produces what? Works. Faith produces works, not the other way around. We don't work to get saved. We don't work to stay saved. Saved by grace through faith. And so works, though, is a result. Faith is the root, and works are is the fruit. Here, let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35 says, and this is wisdom speaking here. All of chapter 8 pretty much is a record of wisdom. If wisdom could speak, this is what wisdom would say. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and it shall obtain favor of the Lord. Obtain favor of the Lord. Finding wisdom. What is finding wisdom? Of course, it's being willing to be taught, submitting ourselves to the will of God, submitting ourselves to the truth of God. You know, light received increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. When we come across something in God's Word that tells us, well, this is what you should do, then we must do it. Or if we come across something that says you need to stop doing what you're doing, then we need to stop doing what we're doing. And all that works together, doesn't it? Why do we do that? Because we want the favor of the Lord. We want him to be pleased with our life. We want his blessing upon our life. That's what it's talking about. That's what this favor is. In Psalm 9, verse 11, it says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. That refers to the last part of the verse. Man of wicked devices will he condemn. Wicked devices. Now, let's paint this picture here. Let's get this picture. We've got a businessman, a Christian businessman. He calls himself a Christian. He's a businessman. And he wants to be successful, right? He wants to have a successful business. He wants to make money. He wants to have employees. He wants it to grow. He wants the business to grow. He wants the Lord's blessing upon it. How does he get that blessing? Does he get blessing by doing things, by cutting corners and by shady business transactions and by things that getting so close to breaking the law that it would scare you? Is that how he does it? Well, that's what it's talking about here as far as wicked devices will he condemn. Trying to use things, these wicked, trying to exalt ourselves or to gain or to obtain by doing things wrongfully or deceitfully. And you say, well, what's wrong with such and such? It may be so close. Well, it's not against the law, some folks say. Well, it's not against the law. Yeah, but it's against the truth or against treating others the way you'd like to be treated. How do we obtain faith? How would a true Christian businessman have favor of the Lord? Well, it says in verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A good man. It means he's doing good things. He's doing right? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, the scripture says. And that's still true. But Psalm 19, verse 15 says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, and the net which they hid is their own foot taken. You see, what's sad is you see people that have tried to obtain stuff or blessings or growth or material things by doing it the wrong way, by the world system, by taking the world's route, and they wind up with like sand running through their fingers. And it doesn't amount to anything. And they wonder why. And it's so sad. And then, so what it's all saying, basically, and you can, there's so much that you can use this verse for, because it's so true, apply this verse to, that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's it. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. If you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. And that's what it means. So let's move on. Verse 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness. Again, the same thought. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, that's a very good verse, isn't it? Let me give you a couple of verses here to share. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Speaking of the root here of the righteous, of course, we know Christ himself is the root. What does a root speak of? It speaks of stability, doesn't it? It speaks of nourishment. Man planted by the rivers of waters, as it's talking about this root. And it says in Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2, it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth forevermore. So there's a sense of permanence here that he's talking about for God's people that root themselves in the things of God. Christ himself, of course, being the root, but not only being rooted in him for salvation, but letting him grow through us. You see, so the permanence, this sense of permanence. But notice it says in verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness. You know, there's so many get-rich-quick schemes out there. There's people who have gotten rich quick, and they've gotten poor just as quick because they've done it the wrong way. They've not let God bless them. Now, as we've been through, we're already in chapter 12, and we've looked at many verses that have to do with riches and wealth, but we find there is a common theme to it when the Lord blesses with the riches and we have the right attitude, perspective towards it, then that's what is important. But trying to obtain it by taking shortcuts or by doing the wrong thing or taking advantage of people, that is wrong. And it will not be blessed of the Lord, and it will not be established, as it says. A man shall not be established by wickedness. I know some people in business. I even know some pastors in other places of the country that have established, whether you call it their ministry or their business, their employees serve or work under them out of intimidation, not out of love and appreciation. They're afraid of them. They serve in fear. And that's not right. That's not good. That's not what it says. That is using the wrong way to motivate people or to establish your business or your ministry. Should not be serving out of fear or out of intimidation. Let me give you a couple more verses, one more verse here. It says in Colossians, just talking about being rooted in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Sounds pretty subtle, doesn't it? Sounds pretty foundational, doesn't it? It sounds like it's been established, set in Christ, and it's got this permanence about it. Now, if you would look at, let's move into verse 4, if you would. Verse 4, virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. How did that verse get there? Right in the middle of all this. It's got to do with the wife? Huh. Should I move on or should I park right here for a few minutes? By the way, I was always wondering about this. Maybe some of you can answer this question. I know it doesn't have anything to do with the lesson. But why do you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? Think about that. I don't know. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. What does that mean? Virtues of God, of godliness, of goodness, a crown. A crown is something that is to be worn, that is an honor, something that one the husband would be thankful for and not be ashamed of. Yes, that's what that's talking about. That type of wife is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Rottenness in his bones sometimes might not be that visual. I mean, that might not be that noticeable. A crown would be very noticeable, wouldn't you say? But rottenness in a man's bones, it's raining outside. I'm sorry, I was distracted. A crown's very visual, but rottenness in a man's bones might not be, especially initially, right? I mean, it might be noticed eventually, but it's painful, is what he's saying. It's a painful thing. It's not a glorious thing. And so I want to share a couple of verses with you. It says in, there it is. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, they go together. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Amen. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. I think the continual dropping is when the spigot needs washers in it, and it's going bloop, 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 bloop. And it won't stop until you fix it. It'll stop if you turn the water off. But no, you got to fix it, don't you? You got to take care of it and get it settled. And, I'm still married to my first wife, and I'm thankful for her. But I've only had one wife, and she's a great one. She's the best. And so I've not had a bad wife, so I can't comment by experience on this. But I have seen what I think. Women that I'm glad I didn't marry. Is that kind enough? Let me say this as kindly as I know how. Because they are troublemakers, not peacemakers. And they're not a blessing. They're a burden. And so it's sad to say, and Lord knows my heart, I'm not talking about anybody here. A foolish son is calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent or a wise wife or a woman who uses wisdom properly is from the Lord. So men, if you have a wife like that, be thankful. I am. I'm very thankful. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more verses. Proverbs chapter 21. I'm going to give you two verses from the same chapter. And it's very interesting. If you want to flip over there, you'll find them. They're there. Proverbs chapter 21, starting with verse 9. It says, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Huh. Then verse 19 says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You think he's speaking from experience here? I think so. I think this was Solomon writing these, as far as I can tell. And Solomon had more than one wife, by the way, if you knew that. He had 700 wives. And he also had 300 concubines. You think, well, 700 wives, you know. He also had 700 mother-in-laws, though. Unless he married sisters, then you got another set of problems. Can you imagine even knowing their name? He had to be a pretty sharp man to even remember their names. I know it. Hold on, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't imagine. Well, it sounds like he had some experience. And of course, we know that didn't turn out well because they turned his heart away from the Lord. They brought their idols and their idols. And they said, well, you know, he did it because he wanted to make sure international relations were well. So he married women from the royal families of other kingdoms, so to speak. Well, again, it didn't turn out well. How many wives did God create for Adam? I always remember that. One. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Well, you got a big house to work in, to live in, but mama's mad. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Thank you for that, amen. That's true. One of the truest things that's ever been said. In a wide house, said, you better just get out of there, is what he's saying. Get out, get away, get away. Don't try to stand and fight, just retreat. And so then he says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I'm thinking that he's talking about here, not women not a good wife that occasionally gets upset about something when they should. He's talking about someone who continually is like this. How difficult that must be. And so he lays it out, doesn't he? He speaks from experience and says it twice in the same chapter. It's kind of on his mind, I think. And the Lord led him. The Lord inspired him to write it. Said, here, go ahead and throw it in there because it's needed. Folks need to hear that. And so let's move on. Verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And you think, well, that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? Of course the thoughts of the righteous are right. It wouldn't be any other way, would it? Well, there is an emphasis on this, that the thoughts, it's not only the actions, but the thoughts. Where do our actions come from? It's a result of our thinking, of our thoughts. We think about doing something before we actually do it, don't we? Or do we? Sometimes we don't, and that's where we get in trouble. When we don't think, that's when we get into big trouble. But if the thoughts are righteous, the thoughts, then there's going to be righteous behavior, if our thoughts are right. But if our thoughts are not right, then we're going to say or do something that we're going to be ashamed of or that we're going to regret. We want our thoughts to be right. How do our thoughts, that which is virtuous, that which is true? The Word of God tells us where our minds are to be. We're to memorize the Scripture, let the Lord speak to our heart, let Him speak through us, work through us, think through us. The peace of God, the mind of God. If any man have having the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 23 says, the desires of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The desires of the righteous is only good. Psalm 36, verses 2 and 4, for he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He settleth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. See the contrast here. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The counsels, now, is it talking about the counsels that we receive from the wicked? Or is it talking about the counsels that the wicked receive? I believe both can be true. Because are the wicked going to go to godly counsel to find the truth, to find help? No. You know why? Because they want to hear what they want to hear. Did you know that most folks go to counseling to get confirmation on what they already want to do? Not to find the right direction of what to do or where to go with this. They already know what they want to do. They're just looking for confirmation to go ahead and do it. That's why pastors have to be careful in counseling. And there has to be another consistency. Sometimes folks won't be totally honest with you. They'll tell you just a little bit about it so they can get the answer that they want to hear. You wouldn't think people, church folks, would do that, would you? No, that they will, because people want to do what they want to do. But that's why it's important that the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now, we need to realize that there is an enemy out there that has wicked counsel. There are people out there that has deceitful counsel. And so we need to get our counsel from the Lord, from godly people, from those that love God, those who care. So do we see the importance of this on how important it really is? Let me give you this verse again, Psalm 36, verse 2 and 3. I want you to listen carefully, because it's talking about those that are ungodly. For he that flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. That's important. Listen to that. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. That's pretty serious, isn't it? But you see here that it's not only the wrong and the wicked thoughts and the devising to do evil, it's the leaving off. Good and the right answer is available. Did you know the Lord said, I'll pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground? If you seek the Lord, he'll be found. If you want help from the Lord, he'll help you if you'll ask him. But, you know, part of asking the Lord and part of asking even godly counsel, I've had people ask me things, ask my opinion about things, and I said, I'll tell you what to do if you promise you'll do it. Hey, I wasn't going to tell them to do something bad, would I? I wouldn't. I'd tell them to do something good. I'd say, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for a year. That'll take care of it. Are you kidding me? Just that? Yes. Because being obedient to the Lord, getting your life in a path of righteousness, it puts us in a place where he can help us. Why should we ask the Lord for help if we don't intend on doing it? Yeah. Or we're just going to say, Lord, tell me what to do here, and then I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. Is that how it works? No. He'll tell us what we need to hear, what we're to do when we're willing to do it. And not until. So that's so important. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We'll be dismissed.